says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them what you are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.' But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise." And I just want to take a few minutes right before we go eat to talk to you on the subject of married but living single. Married but living single. And this is not going to be a deep theological shift, I don't believe, for anyone, but I'm just going to tell you some things that God has showed me in my life that I believe can be applicable to everyone. Married and living single. God, we give you glory and honor. We praise you. We just ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and souls. Touch us. Give us some revelation and some understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. There's a man I know who had extramarital relationships, and he strayed out of his marriage. And I was at a prayer meeting one night, and a sister came up to me, and she told me, she said, "Dawson, the spirits that attacked that man," and she named him, she said, "the Holy Ghost told me that they're coming after you." She said, "they're coming." She said, "God said, even tonight, they're on their way." And she said, "but when I saw you fighting and I saw you battling." And she said, "I saw you victorious. I saw you winning. And if you will stand and if you will draw close to God, you can defeat this." So I said, "okay." And I prayed against my flesh, and I prayed against Jezebel spirited women, and I prayed against lust, and I prayed against anything I could think of. And boy, I tore it up in that prayer meeting. I stomped on it, I slew it on the altar, I screamed, I hollered, I snotted, I handled business. I got in the car, and on the way home, me and Melody, we were married, me and Melody, we got in a little bit of a fight. And if you don't know us, it's hard to tell we're in a fight. Neither of us are screamers. We just kind of talk intensely, but we're not screamers. So we kind of fought on the way home. So we got to the house, and our intense fellowship escalated. And still not to screaming, but we were very emotionally invested in each statement that we made. And it got to the point... I hate to, she's not here. She's homesick with Eli tonight. I told her what I was going to talk about, and she said, "I'm going to stay homesick with Eli." So but her dad's here. She's previewed all of this. So we got to the point where I decided it was going to be a better situation for both of us if I got some exercise. So I went out the door, closed it very lightly and politely behind me. They went for a walk. And I was jogging and I was walking, and I was telling the Lord how wonderful my wife was, listing all of her great attributes, saying, "thank you for giving me this gift." And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "I told you tonight that this was coming." And I said, whoa, no. You said the spirits that attacked that man, okay, that man had an affair. We're in a fight. She's not smart enough to see this my way. And the Holy Ghost revealed to me, no. He said the affair was not the issue. The affair was the symptom. The problem was a lack of unity with his wife. Oh, my God. Blew my mind. So the Holy Ghost revealed to me, if you're unified with your wife, if you are one, if two become one, you're never going to have an affair. If you're one, you won't even look on a woman to lust. Your mind won't even wander. There'll be so many walls of protection up around you that you will never reach that level. So I was very humbled, went home, and immediately, because disunity is always self, it's self rising up. And what I realized that affair was a lack of unity, which was selfishness. But the Holy Ghost revealed to me unity. So I said, okay. So I went home, told my wife she was wonderful. She was right. She was amazing. I was wrong. You know, did all those humbling things. But then I got to thinking about unity. Okay. If unity is going to say, if I have a bullseye on my back in the spirit world, if I got a flag over my head that says, go get them, boys, and unity is what's going to save me, then I need to know what is unity. I need to be as heavily invested in unity as I possibly can be. So I got to thinking about it. We all know when you're married, two become one, right? That's they read that scripture at every marriage. That's the answer. Two become one, you get married. But there's an element that I hadn't really thought about, Twan, a whole lot. We are three-part beings. What's the three parts of humanity? Mind, soul, spirit. So we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. We're three parts. And a lot of people, when they become one in marriage, they stop at body. Two flesh become one flesh. And at that point, they feel like, okay, now we're unified. Now we have unity. You have one out of three. And what happens a lot of times, most extramarital affairs, they don't start physically. That same man I was telling you about, he was in a church. He was in an apostolic church. He called another brother in the church one night, and that other guy's wife answered the phone. And she says, they made small talk, and then out of the blue, she says, you're a very lonely man, aren't you? Boom. Instantly, he connected with her. Emotionally, there was a connection there. And then they began to talk more. And when they began to talk more, there was a spiritual connection there. And so he physically was at home. He physically was in the same house as his wife. But he was connected soul and spirit with someone else. He had more unity outside of the home than he had with his spouse. And when you do that, there's only a matter of time. Do the math. It's a double pull here. It's a single pull here. And it's only a matter of time till you make your exit. Three-part being. What the Holy Ghost told me, he said, unity, unity happens when her needs. Just close your eyes now and just imagine yourself you're at Gunnersville, because we're at a marriage retreat. Unity happens when her needs become your needs. See, if we're laying in bed at night and she's thirsty and she needs a drink of water, I've got to get to the place where I'm not comfortable till she gets a drink of water. Her needs become my needs. If I can get to the point where her needs and her desires are my needs and my desires, we're safe. We're safe. I've got walls. Yeah. I know, brother. I know it's tough. Some of her needs might be crazy, but that's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter how crazy they are. Her needs and her desires become your needs, your desires. That's what brings unity. How do you know what her needs and desires are? Communication. When you don't communicate, you don't. Let me tell you how this works. I was working in retail, 12-hour days, come home late at night, wore out. Be in the living room doing my push-ups and my sit-ups. This was a while ago. So Melody's in bed because it's 11 o'clock at night, and she has developed this thing where she can't go to sleep most of the time until I'm there. So she tosses and turns, where are you at? So she's screaming from the back room, when are you coming to bed? And I'm out there, I'm getting buff. I'm getting, right? I'm putting it on. And I'm like, when I get chiseled. So, but she's back there frustrated that I'm not coming to bed. And you know what I was doing? I was in the living room getting frustrated because I just came home from a 12-hour day at work, did not feel like doing push-ups or sit-ups. But I was doing that because I thought she wanted me to be buff. So in my mind, I'm in the living room pouring out my time and my energy for her. I'm doing this for you. And you're back there going, when you coming to bed? It was, I know I'm talking to somebody right now. I can feel it. I am helping people. And I've only been married 9 years, but this is stuff God showed me. This is wisdom beyond my years. But y'all know this. So there is a cycle of frustration building. Because I'm in there going, I am doing push-ups to help you. I don't care. I like being fat. Doing this for you. And she's going, I wish you would just get in here so I can go to sleep. Frustration. No communication. Finally, one day, we sit down. And you know what she tells me? I don't care if you have big muscles. I want you to eat healthy so you don't have a heart attack. So if we ever have kids, this is before Eli, you stay alive. And that's all I care about. And I was like, thank God. And now this is what you have before you. This is an answer to my wife's prayers. Because I immediately quit doing push-ups. I might have done 3 since that day. But you see what I'm talking about. The frustration builds up because I think I'm doing it for her. She thinks I'm doing it for me. We're all confused. I don't know what her needs. I don't know what her desires are. Unity, body, soul, and spirit. Three-part being. You have to come together in all three parts. You have to know what that other person desires. I grew up, when we counted last, I think I had gone to 22 different schools growing up. I was all over the place. I lived in Massachusetts, North Carolina, Louisiana, California. I was born in the Philippines. I lived in Africa for 6 months. Change is what I do. That's what I love. I've been here longer than I've been anywhere in my life. And there's been many times when I'm like, I just need to move just for the sake of moving. I've been here too long. My wife was born in one house, lived there her whole life, started working in the mortgage company at about a year and a half old. So she's had one job. She's had one house. She is the epitome of structure and stability. That's what she needs. And around about our 5th year of marriage, she informed me that in her mind, our 2nd year of marriage was, she had termed it Hades year. I didn't know. I thought it was a good time. I had fun in our 2nd year of marriage. She said it was horrible. But in that year of marriage, I had 3 different jobs. And I changed jobs 3 times. And every time I changed jobs, I made a little bit more money. So I was happy with it. But it was causing her complete turmoil. She was unsettled. She was insecure. She was stressed. And so I was making her life miserable, but I had no idea. Now I know we need at least 2 nights a week where we can be at home. Because that's what she needs. And since that's what she needs, that's what I need. In my mind, I got to be home 2 nights a week. We can't be going out. We can't be doing anything. We got to be settled. If you came and offered me a job right now for $2 more an hour, I would say, absolutely not. Inside, I would be screaming, yes. But I would say, absolutely not. Because I need stability and structure in my life. That's what I love. I don't love it, but that's what she loves. And so her desires have to become my desires. So now, Tuan, I know you've been thinking, I'm not married. This is good information, but I'm not married, right? Married and living single. But I want to bring it around to you. What is marriage? Marriage is simply an institution that God put in place to give us a template for our relationship with Him. That's all marriage is. Marriage is teaching me the way I relate and live out with my wife is a life example of my interaction with God. And there's a lot of apostolics who are married, but they're living single. There's frustration. There's building resentment because you're doing things. You're united. You're physically here. You're living the holiness standard. You're physically attached with God, but you're not spiritually unified with Him, and in your mind, you're not unified with Him. What God wants us to think about tonight, what God wants us to do, is reach a point where His desires become our desires, where his needs become our needs. Because what happens when you're married but you're living single is you feel the bondage and the restriction of the relationship, but you don't get the power and the joy and the strength that comes from the relationship. When you're in a relationship and you don't love your wife and she doesn't love you, you have the restrictions of relationship, but there's creativity there. There's things my wife can do and knows how to do that I can't. There are things that I bring to the table that she can't. And there's, but when we're married but disconnected, we don't enhance each other's abilities. I put a lid on her creativity, and she doesn't bring what she could to the table, and I don't bring what I could to the table. And when you're an apostolic and you're in the house of God, physically, just in body, but your mind and your spirit aren't connected with God, it is the epitome of frustration. Because you're living this thing out. You're walking out these holiness things. There's no joy. There's no peace. You're not getting the strength. You have the restrictions, if you would, of the relationship, and none of the benefits. None of the benefits. And it's a miserable place to live. It's a horrible place to live. But we've got to get to the point tonight where his needs can become our needs, where his desires can become our desires. If you can make that leap, it opens a whole new door. It makes us, as Sister Bonnie likes to say, this thing is real. It brings the essence of the relationship alive. And there's a door there that's opened of power, of blessing, of strength. How do you do that? How do his needs become your needs? How do his desires become your desires? You got to talk. Communication. Everything we just went down in a marriage, it is exactly the same, because that is the template for the spiritual existence. How do you communicate with God? Prayer. You pray. You got to pray. How do you know what God likes and what God doesn't like? You read the word. He wrote you an instruction book. He wrote you a letter. And in his letter, he has outlined everything to a T. He tells you exactly what he likes, exactly what he doesn't like. He tells you just how he likes it to be done. Let's go to Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, they had, and there was a connection physically in that Cain brought a physical offering unto the Lord. But spiritually and in his soul or his mind, in his consciousness, in his control center, he was not connected with God. He didn't bring the right thing. So he lost his best fruit and didn't even get the blessings of having made a sacrifice unto God, because God didn't accept his sacrifice. He's married and living single. He did the same amount of work that Abel did and got absolutely no benefit. No benefit. Came out on the short end. His very best grapes were gone. And you know what God said? I don't care if you do push-ups. I don't want you to be buff. I want you to be healthy. You're not bringing me what I need. You're not bringing me what I want. And he's married, but he's living single. It's two separate units living in the same house. It's a lack of unity, and it will always bring death. The thing that sin did in the garden was division. Adam and Eve were united with God. Unity, folks, is the basis. Unity is the foundation of everything that we do. And there are too many apostolics that are living for God, anemic and weak, because they're united in only one level. They're only united in body. And what happens if you come here and you come to church and you've got the holiness standards to the T and you're here 3 days a week, but your spirit is with making money, your spirit is with sports, your spirit is with all the things of the world that the human spirit gets attached to. If your mind, if your control center is with the world, you're married, but you're living single. You're missing the entire essence of living for God, and you have the restrictions of the relationship with none of the benefits. And that creates angry, dried up, bitter people. And they look at exuberant. You've seen the old people who are don't like their spouses, and the newlyweds come whistling in. Yeah, give that a few years. We'll see how that goes. Right? Same exact thing. The old saint walks up to the new guy bouncing around. Yeah, you enjoy it now, brother. But pretty soon you're going to be old, angry, and mean, and dried up and bitter just like I am. Because they're married. They're married to this because of family, because of culture. But their needs and their desires. See, I always had an issue, and I'm almost done. I'm going to pull a Brother Freeman. I always had an issue where I felt, Brother Warren, condemned and conflicted because I didn't hate the things I was supposed to hate. Because there are sinful things that I don't hate that I'm supposed to. A double quarter pounder with ketchup and mustard and mayo and cheese and bacon. Torn that moment when you're at the drive-thru and you've just given the lady the order and all you have to do is round the corner. And when you do, that beautiful little door is going to open and out slides that greasy little paper bag. The angels sing, the light comes down. There are things that I'm supposed to hate. Now, okay, double quarter pounder, is that really sinful? Actually, for me, it probably is because I just had my cholesterol checked. My cholesterol is 300. I need your prayers. My cholesterol is high. And so when I eat a double, I said quarter pounder, I meant Whopper. That's what's actually on my heart. That's what's on my heart. Char-grilled, flame-broiled. So for me to eat that actually, I think, is sinful because I'm being a bad steward of my flesh. I'm not taking care of my family like I'm supposed to. So there's a whole nother issue here. But the point is, I don't hate them. And so I would feel convicted and I would feel conflicted in myself because the Bible says I'm supposed to hate the things that God hates, right? Well, but I don't. I like them. I'll go a step further. I love them. I desire them. I want them to be inside of me. I want to eat them. They are wonderful. And I don't hate them. So, Tuan, I'm left sitting there going, okay, now what am I supposed to do? I am a bad person. Because I don't hate what I'm supposed to hate. But this idea has given me liberty and freedom because it doesn't matter how I feel about it, Josh. What I understand now is I can say, Double Whopper, I love you. I love everything about you. I love the little grease spots you leave on the little paper. There is no aspect of you that I do not like. I love you. But he doesn't. He doesn't. And so while I don't hate you, I hate you. Because his desires are my desires. That Sister Vesta Mangum made a statement one time that's very, very, very powerful. She said, sin is not in pleasure. It's in priority. It's in priority. You need to write that one down. That is very good. And because anything can become sinful, a lot of apostolics, especially young apostolics, young people, we think anything that's fun must be sinful because we can't do nothing. Oh, what? We think the old people sit around and say, you know, the kids really had a good time doing that. Holiness standard can't do that. Mm-mm. But it's not in pleasure. Sin is in priority. And in that way, anything can become, that's how a double whopper could become sinful for me. Has nothing to do with the double whopper. It has to do with the fact that I am being a bad steward of my time, of my money, of my body, and I'm not serving my family. I'm killing myself. That means that I am taking my role as the shepherd and priest of my family, and I am making it subservient to my desires of the flesh to have a double whopper. That becomes sin. So sin is not in pleasure. Sin is in priority. So sin is where you prioritize things. And that's where this idea of unity and of being able to take God's desires and God's needs and meld them and make them mine, now this gives me the liberty to hate what I love. Because I can just hold it up against the frame and say, no, 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 God doesn't like that. And so even though in my flesh I still desire that, even though I still want that, I hate it through the lens of my relationship with God. And in that respect, I shun it. I send it away. I don't have any part of it. Is this making sense to anybody tonight? I hope I'm saving marriages left and right. But most importantly, are his desires yours? Are his needs yours? We can get so busy about the physical things of living for God that we forget to stop and pursue him in relationship. We forget to stop for a minute and say, we're so busy showing God, look how Christian I am by all these things that I'm doing. And we forget to sit down and say, hey, by the way, what do you like? What do you dislike? What do you love? What in my life do you like? What in my life am I doing that you don't like? I don't have to hear it from across the pulpit. The pastor doesn't have to come down and say, I pursue God myself. And there ought to be things in your life that you don't do that has nothing to do with the church, that has nothing to do with the church standards, but it's something between you and God. It's something that he told you, hey, let's just special between me and you. And if you do that and other people don't have those same convictions, that's okay. You don't look down on them. You don't judge them. Say, hey, this is between me and God. You don't use them. You don't use their behavior to validate or disvalidate yours. But it's a relationship. Don't be so busy about church that you forget to have a relationship with God. Because if you do, you're going to be married, but living single. So let's just take a couple of minutes. We're about out of time, but I just want to pray for a few minutes tonight. Sister Bonnie, play something slow and sweet. Just for a couple of seconds. We don't have to get around here. But take just a few minutes tonight, and let's reflect. Let's pray. Talk to God for just a second. Say, God, what are your needs? What are your desires in my life? What do I do that you like that I can do more? What do I not do that I need to do? I'm not talking about what's going to keep me out of hell. I'm not talking about New Life, WPF, UPC church standards. I'm talking about having the joy of a... If I took out the bylaws of Alabama marriage every time I talked to my wife and said, okay, this is what's legal, this is what's not, this is what isn't legal, we would have no kind of relationship. But I got to pursue her in intimacy. So for just a few minutes this evening before we go, if you could just ask God, what are your desires, Lord? What are your needs? Help me, God. I want to be unified with you. I have to go a step past the flesh. But I need my spirit and I need my soul to be in connection with you. appreciate the sweet presence of God we feel in the house. Keep all those that are traveling in your prayers, those that are at peak, those that are elsewhere. If you want to continue praying, you can, Brother Warren. If you would just pray over the food really quick for us.